Are you truly committed to feeling better? I mean, absolutely feeling your best. What's the key? Eat well, sleep well, lots of hydration through water, and also your daily innovative wellness athletic supplement packs. These packets are created to supplement your daily lifestyle, allowing your body to have the nutrients it needs to run efficiently. These packets include multi-omega fish oil, D3K2 5000, probiotic, and magnesium. It's nearly impossible to get all the nutrients our body requires to run efficiently on a regular basis from our food alone. Taking this daily packet will leave you feeling more energetic and more vibrant. Your brain body will be able to detoxify more efficiently, which naturally reduces inflammation. Find out today, innovativewellness.center, innovativewellness.center, and use the code SPORTS Overnight America.
How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez here, After Dark Radio, here every Wednesday, 2 Pacific, 5 Eastern, Sports Byline Broadcasting Network, streaming live on YouTube at 4wonline.com/video and Twitch, twitch.tv/f4wvideo. At 4wonline.com/YouTube, you can watch live, same with Twitch. And yes, I'm here today. The trip to Portland not happening, and so we have a very exciting edition of After Dark Radio here today. Ella LeBain will be our guest, the author of a number of books, Who's Who in the Cosmic Zoo. Ella LeBain, originally from New York City, educated in Israel, received a social sciences degree from the Biological Research Center of the Negev in 1979, where she was schooled in Biblical Hebrew. Went on to become an astronomy degree from the Hayden Planetarium, received an astronomy degree. 1982, she began her serious study of cosmology, spent 2 years working as a counselor and missionary in South Africa during the 80s. Her close encounters caused her to dig deeper into what has become a 39-year journey to get to the truth about UFOs, aliens, ETs, gods, angels, and how they all fit into the endgame of our end times scenario. Ella LeBain is our guest today. We're going to talk about UFOs and ancient aliens, and an article actually just came out in the Wall Street Journal. We'll see if she has any commentary on that. Basically claiming that Pentagon disinformation is responsible for all UFO mythology. Just came out a couple of days ago. So a lot to get into today with Ella LeBain. If you want to text us, 425-780-7566. If you have any questions, preferably send them via email, brian@afterdarkradioshow.com. That is brian@afterdarkradioshow.com. Any questions for Ella LeBain today? You can find me at 4W Online, Threads, Instagram, and Cameo. $10 cameos, everybody. At Brian Alvarez on X. At Brian Alvarez on Blue Sky. Back in a moment with Ella LeBain, After Dark Radio, Sports Byline Broadcasting Network.
Do you have diabetes? I'm sure you've seen the television commercials on the new CGM devices from all the top brands and how well they can help you manage your diabetes. Do you have the latest and newest in diabetes technology? The Diabetes Solution Center carries most of the top brands. And the great news is, your insurance may cover most of the cost. Call our special CGM hotline today, and our friendly representatives will help see if you qualify. You could get a new CGM from the top brands at little or no cost to you. Make living with diabetes easier. You are just one free phone call away to learn if your insurance covers the cost. So make this free call today to the Diabetes Solution Center and learn for free how to get your new continuous glucose monitor.
800-659-7997. 800-659-7997. 800-659-7997. That's 800-659-7997.
Everyone watches more than 5 hours of television. Really? And that's not counting mobile viewing. Get Dish TV and make that time worth it. With Dish, you can get hundreds of channels, access to all kinds of sports, tons of movies, premium channels, and more. Another thing that's really cool with Dish is you can watch most of your favorite shows on your mobile device anywhere for a lot less than cable. Yes, that's right. We are asking you to watch more TV and not less TV, but make it better television with Dish this time, anytime, anywhere. So call right now and learn how easy it is to save on your television bill and get the most out of your TV viewing experience. Dial that number and I promise you we're here waiting for your call because we want to save you money and give you better television. We are Dish TV.
800-293-0328. 800-293-0328. 800-293-0328. That's 800-293-0328.
Has someone in your family lost a job recently and now you can't afford your mortgage payment? Or do you have a rental property and your tenants aren't paying you? Quick Cash Offer can come to the rescue and pay you cash for your home immediately. Yes, sell your home and get cash all over the phone without dealing with real estate agents and risking your safety by showing your home to lukewarm buyers. You don't need to lose your home to foreclosure. If you have any equity in your home, we will buy it and give you cash within days, all in a simple over-the-phone and virtual process. Call Quick Cash Offer now before the economy gets worse. Sell a home you can't afford or just don't want to get the cash you need today.
800-788-1495. 800-788-1495. 800-788-1495. That's 800-788-1495.
Back in the show, Brian Alvarez here, After Dark Radio, Sports Byline Broadcasting Network, as well as streaming live YouTube and Twitch. Very happy today to be joined by Ella LeBaine, who is the author of a number of books, the Who's Who in the Cosmic Zoo series, Guide to ETs, Aliens, Gods, Angels, Exoplanets. And Ella, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well, thanks. How are you?
I'm doing very well. So I think we should just start by talking about how you got to where you are right now. How did the interest in all of this begin?
Yes, well, it's a long story, but I've been an experiencer since I was the age of two, and my parents used to tell me about it, so it stuck in my memory, and had a lot of childhood trauma and things to work through, and as I got into my 30s, I started to wake up to what was happening, that I was being used in the alien-human hybridization program. I had a lot of missing pregnancies, and when I was two, they used to find me upside down in my crib with nosebleeds, and the sheets were bloody, and that's why they used to talk about it all the time. And I always had something, up my nose, and then realized that had to do with this type of program that they were using, women, men and women, not just women, and that I had a lot of missing pregnancies, and then in 1995 ended up in the hospital with a miscarriage, and that's when I woke up to what was happening. And I was visited by this being, white, long, white hair, big blue eyes, very gaunt looking, and just kind of beaming this light to me, saying, "We're the reason this is happening," and they were sending me like, "Thank you, and one day you'll understand." So that's really what started me to try to unpack what was happening with the world of extraterrestrials and aliens and to discern between them. And I started teaching classes in Florida, and long story short, fast forward, I put a book together that started in 2012. So Who's the first book of Who's Who in the Cosmic Zoo was published in 2012, and now there's 7 books.
So I guess the first question, you have an astronomy degree, which I guess that you received in 1982. So did you become interested in astronomy as a result of your experiences, or did you not know about them at the time? Did this tie together in any way?
Well, yeah, that's a good question. Actually, I was I became a professional astrologer, and I had a science degree from Sedebo Care in the Negev in Israel. That was through the Ben Gurion University, and it was the Biological Research Center. And when I got back to New York, I was able to get into an Astronomy 1 basic class that allowed me to get that. You know, and back then they were doing these programs that it's all changed now, and that was in New York City. And in that class, I met this professional astrologer. So out of the astronomy, I ended up getting into astrology because I found out that astrology actually predates astronomy.
Yes.
Astrology came first.
Yes.
So it's all part of my cosmology, suffice to say, which is, you know, all over the Torah, the Zohar, and, you know, today's Bible. So I was fascinated by all that was recorded in the past and how the stars, the names of the stars, all tell this story, which in Hebrew is called the Mazarot, which is, you know, the constellations. And this was the story of God's plan for the whole universe. To bring everyone together, to defeat the dragon, defeat the dark forces, to raise up a Messiah king that was going to bring all of creation together. So that fascinated me, you know, the mythology. But and one thing led to another. So I've been putting this book together since then, and I shelved it I don't know how many times, and I finally got it out recently. It's called Heaven's Witness, and it connects the dots to the Mazarot and the end time prophecies. So I've been able to take it to like 3 different levels, you know, the astronomy, the astrology, the cosmology, and the end time prophecies that are pretty much scripted in the Bible.
You know, you mentioned the end times, and it's ironic that that first book came out in 2012, because when I was a kid, 2012 was like going to be the end. That's what we were always told. You know, the
right.
Stories of, you know, 2012, it's all over. And, you know, obviously it wasn't. We've made it to 2025 here. But,
yeah.
I mean, when you were coming, like before you even wrote that first book, I mean, you had to have been aware of the stories of 2012. And did you put a lot of stock in those stories, or through your own research, were you sort of convinced, nah, that ain't happening in 2012?
Well, you know, I think people take things and then they just kind of blow it out of proportion. And something did happen on December 21st of 2012, but it wasn't what they thought it was. So I've explained that, you know, it wasn't the end of the world, obviously, but it was an eclipse of our sun with the galactic sun, the galactic center of our galaxy. So that's kind of like a click on the dial. And the fact that the Mayans wrote about it was also interesting, but it wasn't what they were saying up leading up to 2012. I found out after the fact that what that date really meant, besides the obvious eclipse, was the entry of this ancient system, which I call the Nemesis Nibiru system, coming into our solar system. And we're in that now. So this is a long phase. And, you know, this is where the books and the research of Zachariah Sitchin comes into play, because this was stuff that was written in stone. You know, not just clay tablets, but you know, the stone temples. And so there's a planet called Nibiru, that's what the Sumerians called it. But it belongs to our sun's binary twin, which we call Nemesis, which is a dead round dwarf star that doesn't radiate anymore, but it still has its orbit with our sun. It's kind of dance. Most of the time it's behind the sun and we can't see it, which is why most of us grew up thinking we only have one sun. But it is the norm in the universe that most stars are binary, if not trinary. So we are in a binary system, and that binary twin has six planets that are locked into its orbit. So every 2,000 to 3,600 years or so, give or take, this system intersects into our solar system, and it creates all kinds of changes, climate changes, earth changes, pole shifts, and that's what we're experiencing. So Nibiru is not here yet, but the system is, and what precedes Nibiru is this, what I call a parade of objects. So we're seeing all kinds of stuff show up around the sun, including an exoplanet that is an interloper. It's locked into an orbit that seems to orbit our sun every 28 days. So we're seeing that in the space telescopes, which are public.
Well, actually, okay, yes, so we have to do a break real quick, but I want to talk more about that after the break, because we've been talking about that on the show. So stand by, back in a moment with more After Dark Radio, Sports Byline Broadcasting Network.
Life insurance is one of those things that just about everybody needs, but few people actually have. Hey, if you die unexpectedly without life insurance, guess what? You'll leave your family with even a bigger mess. Life insurance will help replace your family's income. It'll help cover burial expenses. Life insurance can even help pay off debt like credit cards and medical bills. Life insurance can even pay for college. And if you own a business and you die, life insurance can help your business from collapsing. It can even help cover estate taxes. Life insurance has never been more affordable and needed. Plus, you can always shop around even if you have a plan and save some money. So call the Life Insurance Quote Line right now for free pricing information.
800-915-9654. 800-915-9654. 800-915-9654. That's 800-915-9654.
Are you tired of making trip after trip on doctor visits only to get wrong medications that waste time, money, and cause you side effects? If you're on Medicare, call for a free medical assessment and determine which medications are right for you based on your genetic makeup with our convenient swab test performed in your home and mailed to our laboratory. No more trial and error. The results will tell you and your doctor which medications you don't need and identify more appropriate replacements. If you're on Medicare and take multiple medications, call now for our genetic testing service at little or no cost to you. It starts with a call for a free medical assessment and evaluation of your Medicare coverage. Make this free call right now.
800-948-6814. 800-948-6814. 800-948-6814. That's 800-948-6814.
Imagine combining the exciting investment opportunity of cryptocurrencies with the power of artificial intelligence to maximize your IRA, 401k, or other investment funds. Listen, if you're looking for ways to accelerate your retirement growth, Block Trust IRA has market-leading strategies and solutions for all levels of investors, from $1,000 to millions. And they partner with Bitcoin Magazine's number one crypto trading fund in the world to maximize your returns. Plus, their team of IRA specialists is here to help you roll over your IRA or qualified retirement account to the new world of cryptocurrency investments. So make this free call right now to set up your account and learn more.
800-475-6824. 800-475-6824. 800-475-6824. That's 800-475-6824.
Again, the show, Brian Alvarez here, After Dark Radio, Sports Byline, Broadcasting Network, streaming live, f4wonline.com/YouTube, as well as twitch.tv/f4wvideo. Ella Labane is joining us. And before the break, we were talking about Nibiru, and there have been a lot of articles in the mainstream press, and I'm talking like in the last month, because it feels like just the last couple of weeks we've been talking about it. And I don't want to say the terms are used interchangeably, but like some of them are referencing a potential new Planet 9. Others are saying a Planet X. And these seem to be references to two different things. Are either of these Nibiru?
You are correct. They are two different things. And no, they're not Nibiru. So in my fifth book, The Heavens, I unpack all of this because this has been brewing for years now. The University of Berkeley in California came out with, you know, the notion of a Planet Nine when the Hayden Planetarium, where I, you know, got my astronomy degree back in the 80s, which has now been taken over, it's a whole different organization now, decided, you know, to demote Pluto from our, you know, in our solar system, our Pluto, which was our ninth planet, and say it's not a planet anymore. So this blew my mind, including lots of other people who still do not want to give that up and believe that, yeah, Pluto is a legitimate planet. It has a moon, Charon, that orbits it. It's small, it's dwarf, but it's still part of our solar system. And I thought, well, there's something nefarious going on here. Why are they doing this? And then I connected all these dots to an ancient prophecy that is written in the Torah, in the Tanakh, in the old Jewish Bible, in the book of Daniel, that talks about the Antichrist, which is a system. It's not just one person. There will be a manifestation at the end of a human, you know, someone who appears to be human, but that's another story. But that the Antichrist is going to change the times and the seasons and change the order. And that is exactly what they did. And, you know, the Church of Rome did this when they changed the calendars. You know, they went from the Julian calendar to the Gregorian calendar. It has absolutely no astronomical relevance whatsoever. It doesn't even match. It's not solar. It's not lunar. It's just Roman. And that's what we live on right now. So when they change the order of the planets, it's all part of that same ball of wax. So why did they do that? Because they're covering something else up. So they wanted to reorder things so that they can show, hey, this new, and the Planet Nine, the one that you were talking about, is this big, blue, black, gigantic planet that sits at the edge of our solar system, in like right where the Oort cloud is, and it can only really be seen in infrared. It's not seen in a normal telescope. Now, Pluto is very colorful. It's red, white, and blue, and it, you know, when Lowell, you know, when he discovered it, Lowell, they saw it because they saw the perturbations. They measured the perturbations on Uranus and Neptune and knew that there was something else out there. Well, this has been going on since the 30s when Pluto was established as a planet of our solar system. And then they continued to see perturbations even on Pluto, and they knew something else had to be out there causing perturbations on Pluto, so that's where the Planet X search came from. So X can mean the 10th, X like Roman numeral 10, or it can mean the unknown, like the X factor. Okay, so then comes Sitchin, Zachariah Sitchin, who wrote 12 books, the Earth Chronicles, and his first book was called The 12th Planet,
yes,
which was about Nibiru. But he called it that because the Sumerians counted the luminaries, the sun and the moon. Okay, so suffice to say it's 10, not 12, and that is Nibiru. But Nibiru doesn't actually belong to our solar system, but it comes in and it intersects every 3,567 years. So it goes around both of the binary. It swings around our sun as well as Nemesis.
So
does that make sense?
Yes. Now you mentioned Zachariah Sitchin in the 12th planet, and you know there are people that are critical of him because they claim that his translations of Hebrew were not necessarily accurate. Now you also have been schooled in biblical Hebrew. So you would be a good person to ask, do you agree with some of those criticisms, or do you think that he, in fact, got it right?
Great question. Yes. So the Hebrew, he did get right. It's his interpretation of the Sumerian is where a lot of his critics, but yes, so like, it was controversial at the time, so that's why you got the criticism, but for instance, the Elohim. So that was, and I studied with him. I knew him, I interviewed him, and I became one of his students in his international Bible study group. So, yes, his Hebrew was correct. He was Jewish. He was fluent in five languages, and, you know, all Jews are kind of raised with Hebrew. So he understood this literally, and that's part of my work is to unpack the Hebrew Bible literally because it's been mistranslated into English. So, like, for instance, the word Elohim, which he was known to discern, it literally translates to gods. It's plural for gods with an S at the end. And it's not necessarily a big G. It's a little G. So, you know, this has been, every time that word shows up in the Hebrew Bible, it's translated as God, big G, G-O-D, without the S. So when English people are reading the Bible, they think it's all one God. So that you have two words, Lord and God, which aren't even names, they're titles, and they are explaining this story that every time a God shows up, you either have the word God or you have the word Lord inserted there. So when an English reader reads it, they think it's all one God, and it isn't. Okay, so that's something that Sitchin unpacked about the gods. Plural.
Well, if I could jump in real quick, even in the in the King James Version, you know, in Genesis, he does say, "Let us create man in our image," and of course, you know, people go, "What does that mean, our?" And then the explanation is, "Well, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit." But other people go, "No, it's he is referencing other gods." And in the King James Version, you're only reading about a singular God. But in the original, that's not how it was written.
You're absolutely right. That's exactly it. That entire sentence of creation is in its plurality. Let us create man in our image according to our likeness. And then they created them male and female, equal. So that scripture tells us about, and it wasn't just Father, Son, Holy Spirit, which is what Christians think. These are gods, and I prove this through the literal Hebrew that has been covered up. And I was inspired by Zachariah Sitchin to do this and kind of take this to the next level with all the words that are in the Bible, like the whole cast of characters, I call it, a cast of characters of gods that are detailed in the Old Testament, and like who Satan is, and who these other gods are, and who the God of gods is, because the God of gods, the Father God, has the power to punish the little gods, and that is evidenced in the book of Exodus. So, and then there's a council of gods in the book of Job, where it tells us Job 1 and Job 2 right at the beginning that they went up to the courts of heaven and the Elohim and Satan was among them to talk to the God of gods, the judge, who's holding court. So we know that there's a council of gods from the book of Job. So yeah, it's a cast of characters. My second book, Who is God, unpacks all this for people, as well as the the way that things got mistransliterated in terms of like the spelling and the translations, like for instance the Tetragrammaton, which is the father, the Yud-Heh-U-Heh, is literally pronounced Yahuwah, not Yahweh, not Jehovah. And then that sort of created other religions and other cults and other gods. So a lot to be said about what's in a name.
As a Hebrew scholar and someone who's studied the Bible, we've actually been talking about this a lot on the show of late. We had a guest about a month ago, and then it's kind of spiraled with all sorts of. Plus, there's all the news articles lately about they found something that appears to be perhaps remains of Noah's Ark, perhaps. So we've been talking about that. That's been a news story. What do you make of, I mean, just very quickly, when you look at the Bible and what you've studied, I mean, do you look at that as, because there are two ways to look at it. It's largely exactly as it was historically, or there's a bunch of stories, allegories, et cetera, do you see the Bible as literal or a combination of both?
Yes. It is a combination of, it's multi-layered. It's hard to just see it in one way. But suffice to say, it's probably the best or oldest record of extraterrestrial intervention. So if you want to look at where's the proof that the ETs were here before in the past, the Bible will tell you that.
Okay, hold that thought. We're going to pick up right there after the break. After Dark Radio, Sports Byline, Broadcasting Network.
Why'd I go to the doctor? One day at the firehouse, I was so lightheaded I could barely stand. Even my crew noticed. Getting checked out was the right call. Turns out I have atrial fibrillation, which increases the risk of stroke about 5 times.
Symptoms like irregular heartbeat, heart racing, chest pain, shortness of breath, fatigue, or lightheadedness can come and go. But if it's AFib, the risk of stroke remains. If you have symptoms, contact a doctor.
I'm so glad I did.
Visit notimetowait.com, sponsored by Bristol-Myers Squibb and Pfizer.
There's a new way to travel, and it's one of the oldest forms of transportation. Travel by train. Yes, consider traveling around the United States on Amtrak. Traveling by train is a lot less of a headache than taking a plane, and you'd be surprised how many places you can go on an Amtrak, and there's no passports or IDs needed. Find out how to get where you're going as soon as tomorrow by train. Call the Amtrak Travel Hotline right now. We'll book your trip and email your tickets within minutes. Skip the drive to the airport and skip the lines. Call right now to book your Amtrak reservations. We service most of the United States.
All aboard!
Do something new. Travel by Amtrak today.
800-262-3903. 800-262-3903. 800-262-3903. That's 800-262-3903.
Special alert for consumers struggling to pay taxes. There are new tax regulations, not published yet. We have the inside track on your new tax savings. These programs are designed to help struggling taxpayers like you. The COVID relief programs are gone, but there are new programs to help struggling taxpayers. And we have the inside track. Call now, and we'll take you through these new programs. These taxpayer savings programs have never been available until now. Get out of tax trouble now. It doesn't take weeks. It can happen in one phone call. Call now and get the inside track to get rid of your tax problems.
Call the tax helpline now. 800-949-0039. 800-949-0039. 800-949-0039. That's 800-949-0039.
Progressive presents advice on new teen drivers.
You know, the hardest part about teaching your teen to drive is the chafing from the seatbelt. But the best part is the grip strength you build in your knuckles. Okay, now let's pull out of the driveway.
Here's another tip. Offset a chunk of the cost of adding a teen to your insurance with Progressive's Teen Driver Discount and get a break from the break. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Not available in all states or situations.
In the show, Brian Alvarez here. After Dark Radio, Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. F4WOnline.com/YouTube. Twitch.tv/F4WVideo. Ella LaBaine is joining us here today. And we were talking about references to potential extraterrestrials in the Bible. Is that where we were at?
Yeah, that's where we left off.
You know, there are a lot of weird things that are written about in the Bible. Ezekiel's wheel, I guess, is probably the most famous that people talk about. And many others as well. And one that I wanted to ask about because, you know, we talked about the, you know, the Noah's Ark stories that have been in the media of late. But the one that I always have been interested in is the Ark of the Covenant, because I'm always interested in, it doesn't even need to be the Bible, but anything. It's like, if you hear that, my God, they've seen a dinosaur in the Congo, you know, you're like, I want to hear more about this because it's something that you've heard about from the past and it might actually be around today. And the Ark of the Covenant is one of those things because it's written about in the Bible. It is a very weird thing. The stories they tell in the Bible are very weird. And there are stories nowadays that the Ark of the Covenant might be hidden here or here. Fascinated by it. So what can you tell us about the Ark of the Covenant?
Well, yeah, that's a great area of study, and my fourth book is called Covenants, with the Ark on the cover, so you can't miss it, and I kind of expound on all the details there. And so suffice to say that it was a piece of technology, a very powerful piece of technology, that caused radiation, which is why, you know, the story in the Bible, when the Philistines stole it from the Israelites, they ended up bringing it back because, oh, no, we don't want this, because they brought it into their camp, and everyone was coming down with boils and dying of cancer. Basically, I mean, they didn't call it cancer then, but that's what was happening. It was radiation poisoning. And they realized that they didn't want it. So they gave it back to the Israelites. And it's kind of an interesting story. But, you know, it reminds me of that line in the movie Contact, you know, when they built the machine, the time travel machine, you know, which is very similar to what's described in the book of Ezekiel, that you know, the wheels within wheels. And he said, well, you know, why build one when you can have two? Remember that? Mm-hmm. If you remember the movie Contact. And so the same thing applies to the Ark of the Covenant. There were two. And so one of them was buried under the temple in Jerusalem, and I have a story in my book about a researcher who went to get to it, you know, and was able to scrape this black substance that was on the top of it, took that off, worked with the Israeli authorities on that. They had forensics analyze it, and it turns out that it was blood, dried blood, but it was someone that only had 23 chromosomes. So the story is, and this is what he believed firsthand, touching it and seeing it, was, and then it was buried after that. So the Israeli authorities would not let anyone take it, get to it, and it went back into its, you know, covered up. And then another rabbi came later to try to, and they got very close to it, and they were also shut down. So this is a very highly protected piece. And anyway,
so it's still buried right now.
It is. And there's a second one that's allegedly in Ethiopia.
Yes.
And there's a whole story there about these priests, these monks that are, like, you know, put in charge of watching it. And, you know, because, you know, it has to do with, like, frequency and guardian angels and all this stuff as to, like, who has the rights and the authority to be close to it without dying, kind of thing, you know, without getting poisoned by the... So suffice to say, it's being held underground, okay, in these locations that is supposed to come up at a certain time in the end times, that it gets activated at some point. So I can't really tell you when or how or who, but that's what the prophecy is about with that. But the blood, this is very interesting, because they believed that it was the blood of Jesus Christ when he bled on the cross, and the earth opened up and the veil was ripped, and that blood ended up on what they call the mercy seat, which was the top of the Ark of the Covenant, and then it got buried because there was a big earthquake. So it's been there all along, and that's the blood that they, that this doctor harvested from it in Jerusalem. So it's all in my book, all the details, you know, it's a very fascinating subject, because on one level it also proves, you know, who Yeshua, Jesus, was, and that he was half man, you know, and half God, which the DNA showed that this was the blood of someone that only had half of a human, you know, the other half was something else.
You know, going back to Ethiopia real quick, I've heard those same stories, and allegedly it was like for a long time, like annually they would bring the ark out and like display it, and then, you know, bring it back in again where it would be guarded, and mm-hmm. I always read these stories, and I just thought, you know, it's 2025 now. These stories, like, did this happen or not? It doesn't seem like it. You hear something from, you know, biblical times, and it's like, maybe it did, maybe it didn't, who knows? But these are, like, allegedly recent stories of this mm-hmm. ark being brought out for public display, and it seems like, did this happen or not? We should be able to know. I mean, I don't know. It's just, it seems weird to me that, like, it's still kind of like a legend in 2025, even though you would think nowadays, is there a photo of it? Is there video? Is there any footage? Is there anything? Is there eyewitnesses? Like, what is there?
Well, it's obviously heavily guarded because of its power. It has technology that could be used as a weapon of mass destruction, you know, which is what it seemed to do in the Bible to the people who weren't supposed to be close to it or touch it or have anything to do with it. So, you know, maybe it has something to do with frequency, that there are certain people that are, you know, aligned to it, that can handle it, that can be responsible to guard it and not, you know. But I think it's going to be like, it's like a, almost like a doomsday thing, that it might even be used or activated during the end times, which we're living in, but we're just not at the very end of it. But, you know, we're heading in that direction. Go ahead.
I was going to ask you a question about the end times, because I can even mm-hmm. remember, like, you know, my mom can remember in the, like, early 60s, you know, she would hear, oh, you know, the end of the world is coming Sunday, and, you know, people would go up to the top of a mountain or whatever, and then nothing happened. I mean, these stories have been coming and going forever. You know, the date always changes about when the end of the world is going to be. And, you know, there are people that think, well, you know, at some point this is going to happen. But everybody always likes to believe that I personally am living in a very special time, and the end is right around the corner in this time that I'm living in. What do you make of these stories? I mean, we heard about 2012, you know, it came and went. Do you believe that we're, like, real close, as in your lifetime? Or do you think that we're close astronomically to the end, so to speak?
Well, it is an astronomical thing, the age. So when Jesus said that he was returning at the end of the age, and that he gave this whole long laundry list of stuff that's going to happen that will precede his return at the end of the age, what age was he talking about? That was the processional age of Pisces. So there is an astronomical, you know, component to this. And we are heading to the end of the age of Pisces. It's like a clock, okay? So, you know, there is an expiration date at the end of the age. Now, when that is, like a date or a year, that's where things get a little fuzzy. And here's why. Okay, and this is why I stopped doing astrology, and I also stopped making date predictions for this very reason, is that time has been manipulated. Forget the fact that the calendars have been manipulated. There's a host of calendars that have been changed so many times. And when I looked into this, this is what my sixth book unpacks, Heaven's Witness, is that they changed the calendar so many times because the math didn't work. So they literally, like the Jewish calendar, which is really one of the most astronomical correct ones because it includes both solar and lunar, as opposed to, you know, the Arab calendar, the Muslim calendar is just lunar. And then, of course, you know, the Mayan is just galactic, and you have all these different blocks. And so the ancient Jews ended up, the Masoretic Jews deleted 200 years from their calendar. And when I saw that, I went, what? Why? How? You know, and that's because the math didn't work. So why doesn't the math work? Because Nibiru changes time. Every time Nibiru comes through, passes through, flies by, it's not going to hit the Earth, but what ends up happening is that the Earth, and this is what's going to happen, this is the end time prophecy, Joel 2:31, Revelation, talks about the sun goes dark, the moon goes red. This is not a normal eclipse. You can't have a solar and a lunar eclipse at the same time. That's impossible. This has nothing to do with normal eclipses. This has to do with the intersection of this system coming through this debris field, which is full of red iron oxide. And it's not just passing the Earth. The Earth is on an orbit, okay? Our orbit is going to actually orbit right into this debris field, which is going to get in between the Earth and the Sun and the Sun and the Moon and you know, the Earth and the Moon, and it's going to turn black out the Sun for 3 days. That's the prophecy of the Sun goes dark, and the moon turns red because of the red iron oxide. So the Earth is going to go through a change. We're heading into a pole shift, a major pole shift. We're already 45 degrees into it. So this is kind of a gradual process. When this all gets completed, that's a million-dollar question, because time has changed. And every time, and I prove this, that every time we have these 9.0 earthquakes, the Earth kind of shifts and off of the axis for like 10 seconds, 20 seconds. You take 10 seconds, 20 seconds, and extrapolate it over years, you've got missing time. Okay, so that means that the way we measure time on our calendars is not entirely accurate. So you have that. Then you throw another piece into the mix, and you've got CERN, all right, in Switzerland, where they're able to actually manipulate the timeline. We have technology that can time travel, that can go back and forth in time. So they can put a date out, and then they can change that. And that's why there's so many false predictions. And the reason why I don't do astrology anymore is because of this, the presence of this nemesis Nibiru system intersecting in our solar system that today's astrologers don't even account for. Yet it has a tremendous amount of influence on our day-to-day lives. What's happening on the sun, the Schumann frequency, like today it's up, you know, the moon is full, solar flares, our magnetosphere is cracked. So every time we have coronal mass ejections that are facing Earth that come through, the magnetosphere is not protecting it 100% anymore. So it comes through. That's part of the warming. And also we're seeing auroras.
Actually, hold the thought on auroras. We'll be back in a moment with more After Dark Radio Sports Byline Broadcasting Network.
One out of two Americans thinks their life is worthy of a book. Here's another startling stat. You may be one of the 15% of people who bothered to start your book, and one of the 6% that got halfway through it, but your gem of an idea likely died. Or did it? Some published authors are making significant money, so join the ranks of the successful people that finish their books with help from Dorrance Publishing. Call right now, and our experienced editors and writers will explain to you what it's going to take to get your book completely written, published, and then taken to market to sell it. It's a free consultation, so call right now. Find out how much time and money it takes to finally get that book idea of yours published. Make your dreams happen. Call Dorrance Publishing right now.
800-485-6003. 800-485-6003. 800-485-6003. That's 800-485-6003.
Attention, fellow conservative investors. What does the name Reagan mean to you? It stands for being the ultimate conservative. It also stands for the Reagan Gold Group. Do you see storm clouds approaching? The stock market hates uncertainty, and there are plenty of reasons to be concerned. High inflation, unstable debt, and economic uncertainty are just a few. You have car insurance, homeowners insurance, and life insurance. But do you have insurance for your retirement savings and your 401k? We urge all fellow conservative investors to learn about the one asset that could help ensure your nest egg doesn't crack under economic pressure. G-O-L-D, gold. Call the one name any conservative investor needs to know about, Reagan Gold Group.
800-360-1917. 800-360-1917. 800-360-1917. That's 800-360-1917.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. If you've been involved in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or injured at work, you have rights and you may be entitled to money for your suffering. Don't accept an offer you get from an insurance company until you talk to a lawyer. And we represent some of the best personal injury lawyers you can find. Tough lawyers that will fight to win your case. And they're so good they stake their reputation on it by only getting paid if you win. So if you've been in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or hurt on the job, find out today for free what kind of compensation you may be entitled to. Call the legal helpline right now.
800-401-5163. 800-401-5163. 800-401-5163. That's 800-401-5163.
Back in the show, Brian Alvarez here, After Dark Radio Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. F4WOnline.com/YouTube, Twitch.tv/F4WVideo. Ella LeBain is joining us here today. Who's Who in the Cosmic Zoo? A Guide to ETs, Aliens, Gods, and Angels. Who's Who in the Cosmic Zoo.com. And Ella, we got about 90 seconds. Let's get some plugs in for the books, where you can find them, and anything else I have not mentioned yet.
Oh, well, thank you, Brian. Yeah, I'm on Amazon worldwide. The books are available in paperback, Kindle. Three of my books have been published in audio books recently, book 1, 3, and 5, The Heavens, which I was just telling you about, that has a lot of information about the Nemesis Nibiru system and the order of the planets. That's in book 5. And you can also find me on Facebook, and I ship only to the United States, so if you're outside of the States, you can go to Amazon. But otherwise, who's who in the cosmiczoo.com, you can reach me.
Well, I want to thank you so much for doing the show today, and I feel like we just scratched the surface today, so hopefully we can do another show sometime, because there's a lot that we didn't get a chance to talk about here today. But the website is who's who.
I would love that. Thank you so much for having me. It was really great meeting you.
Well, yeah, I really appreciate it. Who's Who in the cosmiczoo.com is the website address, and amazon.com as well. And check it out. And that's it for today. Thanks as always. We'll talk to you next time. After Dark Radio Sports Byline Broadcasting Network.